Thank you, Chairman. We, as you heard from Paul, we released in early May the draft of the Due Process Handbook rewrite, which I think tried to get up to date with many of the practices that are actually now in place. It also, as we talked about in April, has made a number of other changes incorporating the Interpretations Committee Handbook as an example. We have a comment period that extends through early September, and we are very interested in getting that feedback. Besides being discussed at the Advisory Council, there was also a discussion at, with FRAC on the handbook. So I'm very optimistic that we will get some good feedback, and we will incorporate that feedback as quickly as possible. What we're planning to do is discuss at the October trustee meeting any feedback that we've received, and we have scheduled some time in November and December, if necessary, to hopefully get the recommendations finalized for the full trustee group. Some of the things that are incorporated, we're already trying to work on, and in response to feedback we have received, we have reviewed a couple of areas which are laid out in the papers in tab 4. And some of those, for instance, are we've had some feedback that it's very important that all comment letters are made available. And so we asked the staff to assure us that over the last year that they had made comment letters fully available to the public, and we got that assurance. Similarly, around meeting papers, I think there was a concern that in certain instances meeting papers were not being made available publicly, and again, we got assurance that they were. One of the areas we talked about is in some instances there may be information which is given on a confidential basis, and obviously that is going to be something that we continue to have to use good judgment about how much of that information and how it's made available. We also had a discussion about the consultative groups, and we had had a discussion back in April, which I reported to the trustees then, about how we make all of these groups most effective. And we had a discussion about the existing groups, and on the suggestion of the staff, the Due Process Committee approved winding down a number of working groups which are no longer required: financial statement presentation, employee benefits, and the Expert Advisory Council for Fair Value Measurement, which resulted out of the crisis. That leaves in place a number of consultative groups, insurance contracts, leases, financial instruments, and I think we were all very pleased to hear that those groups were very useful parts of the process that the staff and board uses, probably less so on getting the entire group together, but being really resources that are active participants and a part of a resource available to ask specific questions and get feedback on. So I think we were very well satisfied that the existing working groups are adding value, and it's less a question of formal meetings, much more a question of they provide good feedback. And some of the discussion we had was, I think it's just a good demonstration, maybe the point that Paul is making, sometimes it's not just checking the box about there was a meeting, it's actually the effectiveness of the conversations that are much harder to measure, and we just want to get assurance periodically that these groups are really adding value. And finally, in this category of some of these underlying due process steps, we had a discussion around the number of meetings that had taken place between the staff and board and a number of market and securities regulators as well as prudential regulators. And we also, as part of that discussion, talked about the point Hans made about increasing the formalization of some of those relationships, of which we are, I think, very supportive. I think it is probably a good point to say that Hans used the term evidence-based due process, and I think this is all part of this increasing use by the board and the staff of documented evidence that they're performing their tasks. And I think for us on the due process committee, that's been one of the most positive developments over the course of the last year as we've talked about the handbook and some of these elements, that the staff are really using this as a tool, developing web-based tools, giving to us as the DPOC exactly the same documents as will have been used by the staff with the board to evidence due process. And I think we feel that that working nature of due process is the counterbalance to what Paul talked about, because I think it's we're trying to not create an extra layer. We're trying to assure that the board and staff themselves follow due process. We had a great discussion with Paul Pachter around SME group, advisory group, implementation group, I guess it's called. Two things on that. One, a formal review has been launched, which hopefully will have a conclusion by early 2014, if not sooner. And in the meanwhile, we approve the existing membership of that group to continue with one proviso that there is demand from others to join that group. And so we said let's extend it from the roughly 20 number by a handful of individuals if that would add value. I think this is, again, a good example of networks being very effective about bringing forward the issues, and these are not done through formal meetings. It's a lot of email and telephone exchange, and again, I think we really welcome this type of outreach, and I think it helps the brand of the IR4S extend globally. We then had a discussion with Sue and Alan around the technical activities. We had approved in the telephonic meeting we had in early May the improvements, annual improvements, ED, and we had a discussion of the finalization of that yesterday. We also talked about the got an update on the post-implementation review, where a request for information has just gone out, and we've asked members of the DPOC to feedback any suggestions they may have before that goes out. We talked about the XBRL and the review that we commissioned at the last meeting to really look strategically, is XBRL adding the value that we would expect it to see, what as we move forward with XBRL are some of the changes that we may need to make. And Sue then walked us through all of the major projects underway, and we have continued the dialogue around the importance of consideration of re-exposure, the documentation of that, and some other elements of the due process around those standards. Again, I think we feel very impressed that the execution of due process is really gaining ground throughout the development of standards, because I think we, as a design principle said, doing due process oversight right at the end of a project is almost useless, because it's the preceding years where you're going to have much more impact on ensuring that there's credibility brought to the standards by the oversight we give. So I think we feel very good about that. As part of the strategy review, one of the areas is to continue the review of how we can best include effect analysis and field visits into the analysis, and the DPOC was asked to support a recommendation, which we did, to set up a consultative group to give the board guidance on how best to do this. EFRAC has in place at the moment a request for proposal, which or request for comment on effect analysis that they're considering, and the staff has been engaged with that. But I think we believe it's important that we cast a bigger net on this topic to make sure that we are moving forward, so that as we, in the basis of conclusions, include effect analysis discussion, that it's at a best practice level. And hopefully we can have this working group get names identified, talking 15, 20 names, and get them up and going as quickly as possible. In terms of correspondence, we discussed responses to an email exchange that we'd had with someone called Michael Strout around revisions to 9, and a little bit, I think, in line with the conversation we had earlier. The point raised was that given the revisions to 9 that were made not very long ago, to then be making revisions now raised some concern, and I think we feel very comfortable that this was just the pragmatic result of the way events have evolved and the need at the time to get something done quickly. So I don't think we believe this is an issue of due process. It was just the pragmatic requirement, and the board and staff are very aware of that. The second letter is from Business Europe, which I think we feel raises some interesting questions around due process that we want to respond to. One of those, which we did spend a lot of time talking about yesterday, is also in the strategy review that we consider doing part or all of the DPOC meetings in public. And I think certainly on an interim basis, one of the things we are going to do is we always get on the DPO part of the website a summary of our meetings. We are going to make those a little bit more extensive as we continue this dialogue. And part of the due process handbook set of questions is this question of doing these meetings in public. So we'll wait and see what results we get there. The comments about the DPOC website itself being hard to navigate, we'll take a look and reach out to Business Europe to get some more feedback from them on how we might improve it. We have also a comment about much of the analysis of how to respond to questions raised around due process is done by the board staff, and obviously now with the joining of David Loeth, I think we can provide some trustee independent oversight of that process. And then finally, there was a question raised about whether the board should be signing off on effects analysis as well as on the feedback statement. And in the discussion yesterday, I think we all agreed, and Hans was very supportive of this, that the board should incorporate the effect analysis, as I mentioned earlier. And I think feedback statements, we are supportive that that really is part of just the broad communication around standards. So I don't think we felt that that was something that required board sign-off. We will get those drafts. We will finalize those responses hopefully in the next couple of weeks and get them out to the on a timely basis responses. And again, we do put those on the website. We have a pretty healthy to-do list coming out of the strategy review. We've talked about how we were going to get that done, and David will keep us honest to make sure we do it. Consistent with what Paul said, we are trying to spend time at various council or other meetings, and a couple of members of the DPOC are going to attend the interpretation committee meeting in October, which I think will give us additional insight on what they are doing. All in all, I do want to end with I think we on the DPOC feel very comfortable that we have a good collaborative process, which includes the right degree of independence and pushback on the board. And I think we continue to look forward to making progress as we get feedback on the due process handbook. I think we recognize that we're not trying to be unnecessarily bureaucratic in this, that what we're trying to avoid is a check-the-box exercise. So I think what we're trying to do by leveraging the metrics that Sue and Alan are putting in place as the projects develop, that we will then, as a committee, really spend time on the exceptions and discuss the issues, as opposed to spend a huge amount of time on what is really the staff work, which is the assurance that they've carried out the work that they have said. Just as a final point, we continue to benefit from Hans and Ian being at the meeting. This meeting we also had Pat and Paul. So I think we feel good also that we are getting a perspective of a broad array of board members. I think I did that within the time. I should ask my DPOC members if there's anything else that I missed they'd like to raise.
Thank you, David. Any questions or comments on this report? Well, I think it is clear that we are doing a huge effort to improve this process, which is already quite remarkable. And I thank you for this. I think it shows that this organization pays attention to this due process, which is fundamental for the credibility of the whole exercise. If you have no questions or comments,